The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
It is the Aina Show. No, it's not. It's the Anton Savage Show with Aina and Elena on it. I'm sorry, I was so shocked because during the break, Aina said she had gotten something wrong, which I didn't think ever happened. It relates to the Asian hornet.
What did you get wrong? What did I get wrong? Well, the Asian hornet, as you know, is all news. You're just back from your Hollywood. Were you shaking upside down to make sure you didn't take anything back with you from foreign parts? Well, anyway, the Asian hornet has been discovered in Cork. And we don't have Asian hornets in Ireland. And this is a terrible worry altogether because Asian hornets are a species that will kill honeybees. And they'll eat 1.5 kilograms of bees in a week or whatever. Anyway, they'll do awful damage.
Indeed. One hornet?
No, the whole nest of them, obviously. Yeah, no, not one by himself. Lord save us. Huge, yeah, indeed. And somebody had asked me about this on the Irish Times, and I had said, oh, there's none of these Asian hornets in Ireland or in Britain, says I ex cathedra. And of course, they have been in Britain for the last 3 or 4 years, and they're a real problem in the south of England. I mean, they came over from continental Europe, and they have become established there. They have nests there, and they have to destroy the nests to get rid of them, and they're breeding.
Now, come on, how is this, they end up in a car and come over on a ferry, or they...
Well, this is what we don't know. I mean, we don't know how the one got into Cork, and is it only one or what have you. But they're very clever in Britain because they really want to get rid of it. They've only been a few nests, relatively speaking, for the whole country. So they're catching the workers, the worker wasps, putting a tiny, weenchy, teensy, weeny transmitter onto it and letting her off. And she flies back home to Mammy. She goes back to the nest and they track her and they find the nest and zap it. And they've got rid of 53 nests this year already by doing this.
But they effectively turn one of them into a double agent.
I presume they lose the zapper. They hardly get her out again to take the thing off her. I presume that's all
gone. It's amazing that you can get tracking technology that's small.
Well, anyway, on the 7th of August, at the beginning of this week, down in Cork, some member of the public, a citizen scientist, a good person, took a picture of this and sent it into the biological record centre down there, the biodiversity centre, and said this looks like an Asian hornet because it has an orange face, or wasps, no matter how big they are, don't have orange faces, they're black and yellow, but this thing has an orange face and it's quite large, you know. And they said, yes, it is. And they nearly had a fit and they rushed off down to Cork and they put out traps for it. And what kind of a trap would you put out for wasps and hornets? Well, they put out a jam jar full of jam and water, apparently, and they caught one in it.
An Asian hornet?
Yes, they caught an Asian hornet.
Now, is this the Asian hornet Asian hornet?
Who knows? I mean, couldn't you? I mean, 4 days later, they catch an Asian. Is it the same one? And so anybody's on the qui vive now, keeping an eye out for a hornet with an orange face.
But so of course, if you're in the Cork region and
anywhere. I mean, how do we know how it got to Cork? Did it come back in a ferry? Did it come back in somebody's luggage? Who knows? I mean, it's quite a big. I mean, it's like a wasp, only bigger, essentially. We don't have any hornets. We didn't have any hornet species in Ireland ever. And this Asian hornet spread through Europe and then got into Britain. And whether it came from Britain to Cork, whether it came from France to Cork, we don't know. Whether it came in a box of bananas, the usual vehicle for bringing things. But it's a dangerous one. Because
who do you call when you see a large bug? Anybody listening who now sees a large wasp with an orange face, I assume 999 is not where you go about this.
Well, the National Parks and Wildlife Service, but they have actually a website, invasives.ie, that you go to and you go on to that. It's part of the Biodiversity Centre in Waterford. It's part of their website, so it's the National Biodiversity Centre.
There are two things out of this that I want to ask about. One is stroking a bee, and the other is that Japanese thing that lives along the canals and that you have to set fire to. Which way should I go?
Well, just stroking a bee sounds mad. What's that?
Is it okay to stroke a bee? Because every now and then I find bumblebees fat enough and when nobody's looking, I like to give them a little stroke.
Yeah. Well, it's not the one way we all go.
Because they're kind of velvety.
Yeah, well, they are lovely big furry bumblebee things indeed.
And they're so gentle they don't mind. Well, but I'm not doing them any harm, am I?
Well, I don't know. I mean, look at the size of you compared to a bee. Well, something 45 times came with a tiny finger and rubbed your back. I mean, how do you know?
Well, as long as he did it in a gentle and affectionate way, I'd take it well. Now, setting that to one side.
I suppose, if the bee flies off and you're all right after it, what can I say to you if you have...
I wasn't sure if in some way it disturbed, would he be traumatised or would it ruin his navigation? But they all seem fine. Are they male or female?
They're all female.
Are they?
Yeah, they're all women. except for the drones. I mean, the Queen is a female, and all the babies are all workers, and they're all females as well. And then with certain cells at a certain time of year, the Queen lays different types of eggs, and they're the drones, and they're the ones then that'll mate and do the new Queen for next year. And the bumblebee goes off up in the air, and James Gawley gets out his flute and plays the Flight of the Bumblebee, and it's all sex and drugs and rock and roll, as you can imagine. And then the bumblebee, when she's fertilised, the Queen goes off then to hibernate for the winter time. But that's how it works in the birds and bees fashion. Tell us about setting fire to plants on the canal.
Sorry.
So she quickly changing the subject.
You mentioned invasive species in the list of invasions. The ones that I had never got a chance to ask you about, but that terrify me, is this. Is it Japanese knotweed?
There's a Japanese knotweed. There is.
That is UV reactive, where if you touch it in some way, is that what it, have I this right? That
there is an invasive species called Japanese knotweed.
Bad. We don't like it.
And it grows up through, it appears to grow through concrete, but actually it insinuates itself through cracks. And if houses are abandoned in places, that you can come back and they're covered in this wretched thing. But what you're talking about is the giant hogweed.
That's the one.
That's the one, yes, indeed. Now, the giant hogweed is like a great big umbellifer plant. I mean, it's taller than yourself. It has flowers like dinner plates. And the problem with that is that the sap in it, the juice in it, if it gets on your skin, it damages your melatonin, so that your sunburn, you're no protection against the sunshine, and you swell up and get blisters and everything else. And
this, so if I understand this right, if you rub against it, you don't get an immediate sting. You may not even recognise as you go out in the sun.
No. You'd have to be actually rubbing the sap into yourself. So if you decided you didn't like it and you stripped to the waist on a moiling hot day and got out your what do you call those things? Your strimmers. Don't mention flutes. Strimmers. And you strim the thing, and bits and pieces of it all flying in the air. But what really got found out to be so terrible was because pea shooters. Did you have pea shooters when you were a kid? We used to take the middle out of a biro and blow rice through it. But anyway, they
never thought about using rice. I used to use balled up bits of paper. Rice is very clever.
It's very clever. But anyway, the hollow stems of these things, of these umbellifer plants, are great pea shooters. And then a crowd of kids discovered this huge big pea shooters. And they were, and they damaged their lips something awful, and they ended up in hospital. And this is where it was discovered. This is in Ireland now. This 20, 30 years ago, that this reaction of the sap. So, I mean, if you see it or you happen to touch it, you don't have to get into terror about it at all. But it's just the sap in it will cause damage. And it's, so therefore cutting it down is very difficult, because when you cut it and break it and bits of juice, and it's the seeds are carried by the water, so this is why you see it so much along rivers and along canals and places like that. I mean, it looks amazing, big white thing. They were brought in way back in the 1700s, 1800s, as flowers for the gardens of the landed gentry with their crinolines, who couldn't be walking down the garden. I wanted to see the wild rhubarb with the huge big gunner that's all over Achill. They wanted to see these big white flowers, this giant hogweed, and of course these are garden escapes. So invasive species, we have a whole big list of it. Invasive species that.
And I presume this is where we come back to the hornet. I assume if you don't nip it in the bud, if an invasive species gets established, you kind of have it forever.
That's what happens. So that's what happens to things. I mean, that's what happened to the grey squirrel, for example. That's what happened to the mink. And these were brought in for different reasons and then escaped into the wild, and they've caused huge amounts of distress, and you know, they outcompete our native species. With the result, our red squirrels declined when the grey increased, our mink, which were brought in for fur coats, and then Brigitte Bardot said it takes 40 dumb animals to make one fur coat and only one dumb animal to wear it, and they went out of fashion. The mink were let go and back, and they went into the rivers, and not only will they eat fish, but they eat coot and water hen. They jump out of the rivers and go up to your hen house and gobble all your hens. So like, they're American thing, and of course their enemies didn't get brought here. Wolverines and polecats and the like.
So does that mean we should go back to wearing mink coats?
No, because they're wretched things. I mean, if you had the mink coat, you see your granny's one, it's sort of a pale pinky brown. But these things reverted back to their original colour, which is like a rat's tail. So even if you get one in the wild,
all the good breeding is gone.
Typical.
Aina, as ever, thank you so much. Are you doing anything that we should follow you about in the next while?
Off to Newport now in County Mayo, because it's National Tree Week. It's not National Tree Week. It's Heritage Week starting tomorrow. And I'm launching a joint thing between the Built Heritage, the Natural Heritage, and the community over there in Newport. And I can't wait to go.
Enjoy. Aina, thank you so much. That is Aina Nielana, broadcaster, author and wildlife expert.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.